Thank you, David. Yeah, Pastor Lester's become a good friend, and so yeah, if you come on Saturday, you'll get to meet him and all the things that his church is probably quite a bit smaller than ours, but they make a tremendous impact in the community and just gathering people together. So it's not about the size of the church, it's about the size of the hearts of the people in the church and what God is using them for and just being available. And so it's great to have that kind of a partner that shares the same heart and vision and love for the Lord. Let's pray together before we look at God's Word. Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, Lord, that your Word is truth. Your Word changes lives. Your Word is living and active. And so, Lord, we pray that it would transform us today, it would speak to us today, it would challenge us today, and allow us to hear from heaven, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this past week, our life group, we were gathering together and kind of going over last Sunday's message. And you remember we had the big map here and we were focusing on the global outreach of the church and the unreached people groups of the church. And we were focusing on that, and there were the 17,410 unreached people groups in the world and how to reach them and what are we doing. We prayed over the map. We prayed together for those unreached, and we also prayed for those that were persecuted, for the persecuted church around the world. And so I asked the group, I said there was three things that we tried to focus on at the end. I said we have three options in response to the Great Commission. And Debbie immediately responded. She said, pray, go, stay. And I was like, no, hang on. You missed giving. Giving is a vital part of the Great Commission. And no, I didn't say stay. You're supposed to go. But then as I was thinking about it the next day, I was like, actually, she was right. And so I had to admit, Debbie was right. She's frequently right. And but from what I gather, we're all here. None of you have a plane ticket to go to the nations this week. Eric is on his way back right now from Monterrey, Mexico. But we're called to stay sometimes because we're called to the community that God has placed us in to be a missionary in the community where we've been placed. So staying is a vital part of the Great Commission. It sounds contrary, but really, you've been placed here. There's a going to your neighbor. There's a going to your co-workers. There's a going to the people in your community that you're living in. God has placed you here. We're placed here in South Kansas City as representatives of the body of Christ, as Christ's hands and feet here in South Kansas City. And, you know, the place that God has put us in. You know, we're looking at the four pillars of the church. We're kind of going through that series on the four pillars of the church. And next week, we're going to begin looking at compassion, the final pillar of the church. And but we're focusing on the mission of the church right now that God has placed us in, that strategically God has placed us in this community to be missional, to be reaching the lost, to be reaching those in our community. And so today I want to look at passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 8 that, again, you may know well, you may have read it many times, but I believe God wants to speak to us through this encounter that the Apostle Philip had with an Ethiopian official in the desert south of Jerusalem. And so turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. We're going to begin and then read to the end of the chapter. Verse 26 begins. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through there, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Amen. You know, this account, we may have read it many times before, but I think there's something significant that God wants to show us today, and it's particularly four things that I believe that we need to focus in on this account today regarding Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch, just an encounter in the desert. And Philip was a missionary, he was an apostle, he was one of the disciples of Jesus, but he took Acts chapter 1 verse 8 seriously. When Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, he was seriously doing that. He was in Samaria, and he was experiencing fruit. He was experiencing salvations. Churches were being planted. Exciting things were happening. Amazing things were happening. And at the height of what seemed to be a revival taking place in Samaria, God redirected him. God changed his plans. An angel of the Lord came and redirected Philip and said, go somewhere else. And as we read this encounter, it said there's four things that I think we can learn from Philip. The first one is he obeyed immediately. He didn't hesitate. He didn't hold back. He didn't ponder it. He didn't pray about it. Nelson, there's something going on. Yeah, I know you're trying to work on it. He was experiencing success where he was, and everything in him probably said, but it's good here. Things are happening here. In fact, if you read previously in the chapter, the church in Jerusalem saw and heard what was happening, so they sent their greatest preachers. They sent Peter and John, and they said, man, fire's happening in Samaria, so we're going to send some of the big guns there, and we're going to stoke this fire, and many people are going to come to know the Lord. It was excitement going on. And with all that buzz, everybody wanted to be there. And Philip immediately obeyed the Lord and left. That's hard to do sometimes, to obey the Lord when everything seems to be going right. He could have had 100 excuses as to why I'm meant to be here, but he didn't hesitate. How many times do we hesitate when God tells us to do something? God tells us to go and speak to our neighbor. We're like, yeah, it's not convenient. No, they're probably having dinner right now. God tells you to go and speak to your coworker. Yeah, I know, but they're busy right now. They've probably got things going on. We have excuses. But when God tells us to do something, obey immediately, because timing is crucial. Timing is always crucial. Have you ever been in a situation in your life where things are going well, things are happening, you seem to be in the right place at the right time, and God says, okay, now it's time to go. And honestly, sometimes we ignore the voice of God. Honestly, sometimes we pretend that God didn't speak because it's comfortable. It's cool. There's lots of things happening. And God says, no, I want you to go here. It's not cool here. There's not a lot of things happening. God sends us to the desert. But we got to obey immediately because fruit happens. Amazing things happen when we obey God. The second thing is he listened to the Holy Spirit. Verse 29, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join the chariot. This is fundamental, basic Christianity, hearing the voice of God. Eric and I preached a series on this earlier in the year, and you can go back and look at the YouTube videos on that, but it's fundamental, it's basic. We need to be hearing God's leading and direction in our lives, the voice of God speaking to us. We need to know that. Daily practicing the discipline. It's a discipline. Daily practicing the discipline of hearing God's direction and leadership. The third thing, though, is he listened to the Ethiopian eunuch. He listened to the person that he was meeting. He encountered him. He came running alongside the chariot, and he didn't come to the chariot and the entourage around the Ethiopian and say, everybody stop, pull out his soapbox, stand up on his soapbox and begin preaching. I'm here to declare the word of the Lord. No, he listened, and he paid attention to what was happening. He listened to him. And as verse 30 says, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the Isaiah the prophet. A number of years ago, I was out with a team who were sharing the gospel on Independence Avenue. And one of the guys that I was with, he saw this man coming towards him. So he said, I'm going to share the gospel with this man. And so he walked up to him and he just began explaining the gospel. He did a great job. He didn't miss out any of the pieces. He did a fantastic job of sharing the gospel, and then he turned around and walked away. He didn't ask the man anything. He didn't ask him, what's going on in your life? How can I pray for you? Can you tell me where you're at? And he didn't even ask him for a decision. And I said, well, what was that all about? He said, well, I shared the gospel. I did my part. Yeah, but we need to listen to see where people are at. Allowing God to use us to meet them where they're at. We cannot do that if we're not listening and paying attention. Last week, I was playing golf with Brian, as we kind of get in the habit of doing on Mondays when I take my day off. And we were partnered up with this guy by the name of Jim. And Jim is a 75-year-old retiree, wonderful man. And as we were playing and as we were talking, and he's not a believer, doesn't attend church, and he began sharing about his life, and we're just asking him questions. What's going on? Do you have any children, grandchildren? And as we began talking, he began sharing about how despondent he is, and how, I guess, discouraged he is the nature of the world that his grandchildren are growing up in. He says, I don't know what my granddaughter is believing and listening to. It seems like the whole world has lost its moral compass. And so we began digging into that. I said, well, that's a fascinating door-opening statement. But listening to what he was saying, and his granddaughter's struggling because the school that she's in and the social media that she's around and the people that she's around are just filled with gender confusion. And I was able to share what the Bible says about how God created men and women and how God has displayed his glory in the gospel through marriage. And he received all of that, but I would never have had that opportunity to share with him if I wasn't listening to where he was and what he was struggling with, the pain that he was going through. People around you, they need to be listened to. They sometimes just need to be heard. And then you'll be amazed the opportunities that come your way. Because then the fourth thing, Philip had the opportunity to ask a question. Verse 30, do you understand what you're reading? That's such a key way to begin a conversation, is to ask questions. Once Philip knew where the official was, where he was in his wrestle, he was able to ask the penetrating question, the probing question that led to being able to present the gospel. You know, it is so important. One of the most important skills in life that you need to learn, or we all need to grow in, is how to ask questions. It sounds obvious because a 2 and 3-year-old and younger children, they know how to ask questions. Mommy, Daddy, why this, why that? But it's somehow when we've graduated from high school and we do some college, we stop asking questions of people. Well, I don't want to appear to be stupid. I don't want to ask questions all the time. But no, people want to know that you care about them. And one of the best ways to show you care is, how are you doing? Tell me about your family. And it's amazing, those probing questions open people's hearts to the opportunity to share the gospel. So we've got to learn to ask questions. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit will give us questions to ask. That's listening to the voice of God, allowing Him to give us the questions that unlock the soul of the person for the gospel. So the question that Philip asked led to an invitation, verse 31. And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, this guy was a very high-ranking official, and he invited this strange man who was running along the side of his chariot to come up and sit with me and explain this to me. And he was reading Isaiah 53, which we know in the verses he was reading was Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8, which speaks about the suffering servant, Jesus, and his death and crucifixion, his life that was given for us. And verse 35, I love this passage. "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, Isaiah 53, and he told him the good news about Jesus." You know, this court official wasn't just a random person wandering through the desert. He had gone to Jerusalem, the Bible says, to worship God, to worship the one true God. He had a knowledge of God. He knew that the God of the Israelites was the one true God, and he went there to the temple to go and worship. It was almost a pilgrimage in his life, but he didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And that was the key, that he knew he was missing something. And we meet people every day, and you can ask them, "Do you believe in God?" "Yes." "Do you go to church?" "Yes." But they don't have a relationship with the King of Kings. They don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is crucial. That Ethiopian eunuch, he represents many people today that have a religious lifestyle, do good things. They live a moral lifestyle by their accounts, but they don't know Jesus. They don't have a personal relationship with the King of Kings. And they may be sincere, but they're lost. You know, the knowledge of God, the creator of the universe, the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had actually gone to Ethiopia through the Queen of Sheba back in 1 Kings chapter 10 when she visited Solomon. So she'd taken back the knowledge, and her entourage had taken back the knowledge of God. But they didn't know Jesus. And there's a wonderful treasure in this story that we often miss, and I love this, as was kind of highlighted to me on Friday. Isn't it amazing the grace of God as he reaches out to the one? He reaches out to the one. This man goes to Jerusalem. The church is growing. Remember, this is Jerusalem early on in the first century. And many of the apostles were still there preaching and teaching. There was a lot of buzz. The Holy Spirit had come. The church was going out and expanding. Many things were happening. And he went there to worship God, and he didn't encounter a Christian. And he went to the temple, and he worshiped God, and did all the religious things, and kind of did his plan that he was going to go. And then he came home. He went back, and he was traveling back to Ethiopia. But God pursued him. God pursued him. God sent Philip to run after him. Aren't we glad God still pursues us today? God pursued this Ethiopian eunuch. Do you remember the time when God pursued you? When God ran after you? Maybe God is pursuing you today. He's running after you today. And he's speaking to you today. For our part, as followers of Jesus, our part is every day to get up and pray, "Lord, today, who do you want me to pursue? Who do you want me to share the good news about Jesus with? Give me the opportunity today to be the one asking and answering questions for someone that's troubled today, someone that's seeking you today." So Philip explains this the gospel to him. The understanding begins to dawn on him as the Holy Spirit has prepared his heart and then reveals truth to him. And so this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, he says, I believe this word. What's stopping me from being baptized? And he believes the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Philip took the word of God, and it produced faith in this Ethiopian eunuch's life. And he stopped everything. He stopped the chariot, and there was probably a large entourage. Again, he's not just an average man. He was in charge of the entire treasury of the queen. He was a probably very influential man. And he stopped this entourage. He stopped everything. And I also love this part. Here they're going through the desert south of Jerusalem, and they find a body of water, a pool of water that's big enough for him to be baptized in, right at the moment when they're having this discussion. And I know that when God created the world and he was looking at the desert in southern Israel, and he said, I'm going to create a pond right there because I know there's an Ethiopian that's going to need to be baptized there right at this time. It was created for him for that time to be baptized. Again, what is baptism? It's a public declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't wash you of your sins, doesn't make you a Christian, but it's saying to everyone around you, I am dying to my old way of life, and I'm being born into new life in Christ. And so he was baptized, and everybody around him saw that. He testified to Jesus Christ, and he was baptized. We're going to have a baptism service here on December 12th. And so there's this, and it's actually going to be in the first service, so you may miss it if you don't come to the first service. But if anyone would like to get baptized, we'll have the pool filled for the second service too. So if you would like to be baptized, please come and speak to me. We'll arrange that. But I'm excited about that because it's a declaration of what Jesus has done. That's what baptism is. And you know, history tells us that because of this one man's faith, the church in Ethiopia today can trace their roots back to this occurrence, this moment in history. Changed this man, but changed a nation. The gospel today still changes lives. The gospel today still changes nations. It all started from Philip saying, yes, I'll go. And he ran down to the wilderness, to the desert, and had no idea where he was going or why he was going, but it changed a nation. The importance of being obedient. So we have the gospel message that we have to share. We have this gospel message that God has done for us. We call it the good news, the gospel. And it's very simply the fact that we're all sinners. Everybody's born in sin, going back to the time of Adam and Eve and the sin that they committed in the Garden of Eden. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory. There's no one that can get to heaven, be restored into a right relationship with God in our own strength by doing good things. There's a problem. There's a break in relationship between us and God. There's a brokenness in us, and it stems from sin. But God, Jesus, provided a way. He was born of a virgin, which we're going to celebrate next month. We get to celebrate not the holidays. We get to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus came and he lived a perfect, sinless life. And he suffered a cruel death on the Roman cross because he loved you and me so much. He died for our sins. He was the perfect sacrifice. The final Passover lamb was Jesus. But he didn't stay buried in that tomb. He rose again by the power of God, overcoming death. And because Jesus overcame death, we truly can have faith in him to know that we will not die, but live eternally with him. We may die physically in this world, but we know that this is not all there is to it. That's the simple gospel message. And it's a free gift to us. Romans 3, 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." If you have become a follower of Jesus, if you said yes to Jesus and given your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your life, you are the light in the world. You're called to be the light in the world. There's a rather humorous story of a man who was commissioned. They were doing railroad repair, and his job was to hold up a lamp at night, so when trains would come, they would stop and wouldn't go into the ditch where they were repairing the broken tracks. And so this man went out that night, and a train came, and he held up his lamp, and the train just blew right by him and went crashing into the ditch. So he was obviously in a lot of trouble. So he was brought before the judge, and he went to court, and the judge said to him, "Are you the man who was responsible for warning the trains?" And he says, "Yes, Your Honor, I was the man who was responsible." And he says, "Did you have your lamp with you?" "Yes, Your Honor, I had my lamp with me." And he said, "Well, did you wave your lamp at the train when the train was coming by?" He says, "Yes, Your Honor, I waved my lamp at the train." And the judge says, "Well, I guess on that then, you're free to go. I can't charge you with anything. You did everything you were supposed to do." And so the man was walking home with his friend, and he says, "I'm just really glad the judge didn't ask me if I actually had my lamp on." And isn't that true? So many of us, we go about our lives, we have the good news of Jesus Christ, we're called to be the salt and the light in the world, but we don't have our lamps on. We're trying to just blend in and be like everybody else. We laugh at jokes that we shouldn't laugh at. We don't be the light. We're not being the light that we're called to be. What is God calling you to shine the light on in your community, in your neighborhood, in your workplace? I want to invite Miguel to come up now. And last week, just to share a little context, we were praying over the map, and he came up to me afterwards and said, "I need to share my story as well." And I said, "I want you to share your story." And he's got a long story, but he's going to share a piece of his story that the Lord has given him today to share with us, to encourage us, because that's what a testimony is, to encourage us. And so, Miguel, if you want to come up, and hopefully this mic...
Hi, everybody. So I hope you can hear me very well. As you can tell, I have an accent, but I lived here for the last 15 years, so I didn't have any plans to move to America or have a family, but the Lord has blessed me so much. So I'm originally from Spain, okay, and the reason I want to share a little bit of my testimony is because it's tied up to Pastor Azol's message. So I was born in Spain, that's where I grew up, but at some point I moved to London, okay? That's where I became born again. And I became born again because I had some crazy people coming from Bolivia. This is awesome. So some people came from Bolivia, and I said yes to the Lord. And they invited me to do a missionary school. And then I went to Bolivia, so I left everything behind. Like 3 months after meeting the Lord, I went to Bolivia, I left my job, I left everything behind, and it was amazing. So when I got to Bolivia, Bolivia was in the middle of a civil war, okay? So the airport was shut down, I was in the middle of a civil war, but it was amazing. I had so many prophetic experiences, okay? So I went back to England, and I was going back and forth. So the point is that when I went back to Bolivia, and I also met some people from IHOP, from the House of Prayer. But I went back to England, and these same people went to a country to smuggle Bibles, okay? And I would say the country is one of the countries that Pastor shared the last week. It was Iran, okay? So one day, this guy, he's crazy Bolivian guy, he said, "You're going to come with me. The Lord said that you're going to come with me." And I knew that I was going to go at some point. And I think it's the same than Philip. I was just obedient to the Lord. So this is not about bringing glory to myself, okay? But because I said yes to the Lord made possible to send the biggest shipment of Bibles in the history of that country, 12,000 Bibles. So praise the Lord, okay? So I just wanted to share, you know, this testimony. You know, I could be up here for hours and hours, but I just received two words from the Lord for this church, okay? The first one is Revelation 3:8. Revelation 3:8 said that even if you have little strength, have opened a door in front of you, and no one will shut it. And the other one is Psalm 24, verse 7. It said, lift up your heads, O doors, because the King of glory shall come in. Okay? You guys, every single of you is a single door for the Lord to come in and impact this community. So the Lord is opening a door for you to impact this community in the way that you can talk to your neighbor. You can talk to, you know, whoever that day the Lord puts in front of you. And make it happen. So beloved, take opportunity of every single chance that you have, because he is worthy. Because I said yes to him, because, you know, he decided to send some people from Bolivia. I got saved in London, and then I went back to Spain. You know, that's where I'm from, as I said. And I went to Iran to smuggle Bibles, you know. I didn't even think it twice. I said, okay, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it, you know. And by the way, I was not married yet to my beautiful wife, Jennifer. She's right there. I think she was praying more than ever because we're not married yet. But yeah, I just wanted to encourage all of you. This is a beautiful community. You know, we have an open door. And you guys, you know, are beautiful. Every single of you. And the Lord is going to do great things through you. So thank you so much for listening. And I hope that you have a great day.
Thank you, Miguel. Thank you so much for that. And yeah, there's another testimony of God pursuing him in London. You know, he ran from Spain to London. No, he was going there to study. But God pursued him by sending someone from Bolivia to reach him. And the fruit has continued to grow from that. So never underestimate God's ability to reach people that you're praying for, but also what can happen as a result of that. You know, I've often heard people say, when we're talking about sharing the gospel, we're talking about reaching our neighbors, reaching our coworkers, even our family members, people say, well, you know, it's not any of my business where they're standing with God. It's not my business. I don't want to get into their lives and, you know, kind of prod and ask them, where do you stand with God? My friends, if we say that, we don't believe the gospel. Because if we truly believed the word of God, we would know that those people we love, are destined for an eternity separated from God in hell, in eternal punishment. So we have a duty, we have a joy, we have the privilege of sharing the good news with them. It's none of my business. No, it is our business, because we care about people. We care about our loved ones. The truth, sharing the gospel, though, is a discipline. It's a discipline. It takes a disciplined lifestyle to share the gospel. You know, we get so focused on temporal things that we miss out on the really, truly important eternal things. We get so focused on just kind of trying to get through the day and the little projects that we have. And again, not bad things, but if we get our priorities out of whack, we forget about the eternal things, the important things that God has placed before us to do. Last year, you may remember, it was January last year, we did the series, Who's Your One? And I know it was pre-COVID, so it's a blur for everybody. That was when we were still meeting together here before COVID. And who's your one? And essentially all that was, who's the one person God has placed in your life that you're praying for right now, that you should be praying for, that God has created you with the story to reach them in their story. So who's the one person that God has uniquely equipped you to be the one to reach them? Begin praying for them. Begin reaching out to them. Begin asking questions. Begin listening to the Holy Spirit's direction for their life. And begin listening to them to see where they're at. And allow God to use you to be a miracle story as He's going to use you to pursue them because He wants to pursue them. I want to encourage you today to make your life count. Make every moment count. Live a lifestyle sharing the gospel message. Live a lifestyle being the light in your community. So we have a few options. We have, obviously, you have options to share, to be who you are around your neighborhood, around your family, around, especially when Thanksgiving coming, if you're having any unsaved people coming to your family's house. But we also have, next Saturday, we have the Because We Care event. It's 10 to 12 at the bingo hall in on Blue Ridge by the post office there. And we're going to have the opportunity to pray with, share the gospel with people as they're waiting in line to receive their food. So we need people to help with that. You're invited to be a part of that. Please come speak to me. You can speak to Josh. You can speak to Bill. Oh, Bill's not going to be here next Saturday, but we have opportunities to share the gospel with people next Saturday. So please come and speak to me about that. But we also have the prayer walk every Tuesday night from now it's 4 to 5 in Ruskin. And you can speak to Bill and Julia about that. I invite you to be a part of that. The gospel changes communities. The gospel is changing Ruskin as they're praying for it. It's making a difference. We're seeing that. We're hearing that. And then we have the opportunities through Bridging the Gap to be able to teach young people, children at Warford Elementary, at Compass Elementary. I invite you to be a part of that. If you have, I think it's on Tuesdays and Thursdays, the opportunity to go and share the gospel with children in a public school setting. But what is God calling you to do? So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for the gospel message. We thank you, Lord, for pursuing us, for reaching us, and calling us to yourself. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you and we praise you, God. And Lord, I pray that this would not be lost on us, but that we would hear from heaven, that we'd be disciplined to hear from you every day, asking you, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go? And Lord, that we would learn to listen to people around us. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to have a few moments around our tables for some table discussion, just being able to connect with each other. What is God sharing with you this morning? What have you? What are you going to take away? And are you going to apply to your lives? So we're going to do that for a few moments, but then after that, we're going to have a few moments of ministry. I'm going to invite a ministry team to come forward, and if the Lord has placed on your heart a burden for someone, or maybe today you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe today you have a burden of sickness that you're carrying, I invite you to come forward after the table discussion. We'll introduce that just for a time of prayer. And so I invite you to do that. So thank you around your tables now for a few minutes.